Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Security Recruiter podcast. Today, I'm joined by Kirsten Renner. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. For everyone listening, Kirsten's just about to go, did an event yesterday, doing an event today. She's doing a podcast with me now. You're in grind mode, so thank you. You sound like you're busy.
I'm not bored.
Good. So I always complain or moan when I'm busy, but I'm probably a bit like you. I secretly love it. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cool. And all right, Kirsten, so for those listeners that don't know you, I'm just going to do you a bit of an introduction. If I get any of this wrong, feel free to shout at me. So I'll do my best. But started off back in recruitment in the early 2000s, HR and recruiting. You were at Telework X for over 5 years. You were then a human resources consultant on a freelance basis for some time. You then progressed on to a national staffing director at Centuria. You then spent some time at Accenture, also doing recruitment. You were then at Crucial Security, again in a talent acquisition position. You then held a senior recruitment position at General Dynamics. You were also a recruiter for Clarity.
Man, you're making me feel old. Yeah. It's a series of a lot of Harris bought Crucial and Parsons bought Sparta and Accenture bought Novetta. So, yeah, just a lot of that in the GovSec.
It's good. And progressed all the way to vice president level now. And it's good to have another recruiter on the show. I think more than ever, and I get a lot of feedback from the listeners saying they like hearing two people with a good recruitment knowledge talk and market information. And I think more than ever, like, there's some people that have had a rough ride, so they'll get a lot of value out of today's show. It'd be nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. I've done you a bit of an intro, but I can never do it as well as you. So I'll start where I always start, which is, who are you? What do you get up to? The day in the life like of Kirsten at the minute.
Sure. The last couple of days, as we gave a little bit of a preview to our busy, and busy's fun, right? We did a little networking event last night, and I'm hosting transitioning operators workshop today in our beautiful office in Herndon. So that's just an honor to do. All throughout my career, I have spent a lot of time volunteering. When I'm not working on volunteering, there's almost no in between with speaking and running villages and hosting things for transitioning service members and veterans. But a day in the life, really, for the if you go from the Novetta level and through what we were doing at Accenture and here at Silver Edge, when you're in the director or VP role, you're doing a lot of doing watching, and asking a lot of questions from your stakeholders and your partners and your customers and your team, just to make sure all the pieces are falling into place. While still, once you've been in recruiting in any way, sales and recruiting go hand in hand, and you're always taking care of the people too, or trying really hard to take care of the candidates to make sure that all the things that you're doing are going to land them where they belong. So,
thanks, Kirsten. How do you find the speaking, by the way? I can remember the first LinkedIn Live I did, I couldn't work for an hour before. I couldn't do anything for about an hour after. It completely ruined my afternoon. I was so nervous.
That's funny. If I wasn't hosting this thing today, I wouldn't be recording in the office. I'd be recording in my home office, and I probably would have been doing that. I probably would have been like, is everything arranged the certain kind of way? Do I have lipstick on? What does my hair look like? And since I was doing something else and running back and forth, being like, do they have what they need? Do they have their coffee? Is the door open? Is the heat too hot? What's happening? I didn't have time to be concerned about it. But you're never, let me tell you something funny real quick. Tonight, I'm having dinner with my good friend, Jason Street, to celebrate his birthday. I'm thankful that he's no longer in Taiwan and that he's here where he belongs. And I get him for 5 seconds tonight in DC before he goes home. I remember the first time I was ever about to speak. I mentioned him because I was so nervous. It was ShmooCon. It was a fire talk. So it was like 10, 15 minutes. You're going to get up there. You're going to try to put the content that you've been dreaming about delivering probably for years and years, right? I can't tell you how many times I had my CFP denied, which is a very great learning experience, by the way. I recommend getting denied often so you can learn. And I walk up to him and I go, and like tears in eyes, and I'm like, ah, I'm good, but what do I do? And he goes, he puts his hands on my shoulders and he goes, here's what's up. You're going to suck. And I went, what? And he goes, no matter what you do, you are going to walk away thinking, I didn't say the thing. I didn't do what I thought. Nobody notices that, right? Get up there, be who you are, care about what you're saying, maybe have get a little bit organized, have some stuff in mind that you're going to say. But the point is to connect to people and to care about your message and hopefully make an impact that way and be helpful. So, cool.
Thanks, Kirsten, because it's so true. We all overthink. I think since remote working, I've started overthinking more than I used to, because I think like back in the day, I would have been in the recruitment office. If I was having a bit of a down day, I'd have spoke to the guy or girl to the left or right of me, and I'd have probably nipped it in the bud there and then. But in a remote environment, it's easy to overthink. And let's say speaking, as it is, it's, yeah, we all overthink. So to, there's good advice. And I know Jason, by the way, we could probably do a whole podcast on him. He's a character.
About him or with him? Yeah, for sure. And I think he's got some big announcements he's about to make. Watching the Hacker Adventures is a fun thing to do. But like you said, overthinking comes natural, right? And turn it into something useful when you're beating yourself up afterwards. Let's not look at it as overthinking. Let's look at it as, let me analyze what happened and learn from it. That way you can't do anything but win.
Yeah, no, it's good. That's a nice positive touch to put on it. I like that. And I just want to go back to a point you mentioned a few minutes ago. So you mentioned getting your CFP denied. It's nice to hear people at your level talking about setbacks they have, because it's just easy to look down at a LinkedIn profile and go, oh, you know what? It's all right for her now. She's doing this. She's been promoted here. But it hasn't always been easy. You would have had setbacks along the way, like you've mentioned. When things have been tough and you have had setbacks, how do you push forward and crack on and still do well? Any tips for the listeners there?
It almost sounds cliche to say you lose, you win, because you learn, if you win, because you won. And my husband said that to me like 25 years ago, but it's so true, right? And people at every level, Kenneth Ellington, if you don't follow him on LinkedIn, he's amazing. Met him when he was a senior in college, and he did a post a few minutes ago. And it was a story. And it was a story about when he met me at B-Sides Tampa and how he was nervous and how he saw me talking to Alyssa Miller. And he thought, do I have the nerve to speak to them? What do I do? What do I do? And that he like got over that fear and spoke to us and how it made an impact in his life. And the only thing, what a great story to just go forth and conquer. And the next thing is, the next level of this story is, here's what Alyssa and I were talking about. She's celebrity level, right? And you look at her and you think she gives all these keynotes and she does all these things and she probably never gets nervous and she knows what she's doing and she is a rock star. But what we were doing that day, at that moment, that sitting at the bar at 5 o'clock, whatever, was going through what she was going to do at RSA in the next week or two. This was BPS. Guys, this is 2020. So this is, COVID's about to happen. We don't know what's happened. We're like, what is it? What do we do? Do we wear masks? So there's a lot going on. And then the point is, she's celebrity level and she was concerned, right? Mm-hmm. So we're all that way. We're at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're all the same. And we're all in this community, super there for each other, supportive of each other. It's not hard to find people that will support you, people that in turn you can be supportive. So at every level, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to mess up. In an hour or two, I'm going to think of something I should have said or shouldn't have said on this podcast, right? It's okay. It's okay. My prior deputy, Heather Morris, she's now the director at Red Horse. She did her first ever podcast. It was released yesterday or the day before. And I sent her a little message on Insta and I was like, you did so good. And she's like, oh my God, I was so nervous. Are you sure I did well? And I'm like, yes. Why can't we hear ourselves? Why can't we see ourselves through the lenses? I think if you care about what you're doing, you can't mess up, because it's going to come through.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if you care and you stick with it, yeah, it just always gets there. And to your point as well, like when you win or when you do something, I typically think it's great, but you don't always learn much. When stuff goes wrong, that's normally when you make the biggest gains and when you actually learn something. So that's how I always look at it. It's a kind of a nice way.
You just want that one person to reach out, man. Leaving DEF CON last year, I spoke so fast and they were closing down. They were closing down the section of the building that I was in while I was speaking. And then 2 years ago, there was a bomb scare while I was speaking at that. Are you kidding me right now? But don't get on stage with me. But when you get a message from someone that says, thank you, you helped me. Thank you. I got a promotion because of you. I got a raise because of you. I learned. That's just the fuel, right? To keep on doing it.
Yeah, definitely. I just think you're helping other people, which is great. You're helping yourself because you're reinforcing your own knowledge that you already know. It's just win-win. And also, I'm always like, today I'm really busy, but then you stop and do this. It's actually really good fun as well. It's a bit, I find like doing this and speaking and doing this with, I find it almost like a bit of a form of therapy because you're reinforcing things that I know and teaching me little things. So it's all good fun as well.
That's awesome.
It's cool. Because I'm going to talk about, in terms of like career progression and stuff like that, like I know we did your intro at the start. What do you think enables you to progress up, or people in general to progress up through the ranks? And why have you progressed where others haven't? Have you got any do's or don'ts? Or is there anything now that you wish you knew 4 or 5 years ago that could help people listening?
Absolutely. A different version of myself, a less mature version of myself, and professionally mature, I'll never be all the way mature, but thought, I just have to be the best. I just have to be the best. No one can recruit more than me. No one can find more people than me. I'm the best. And that was I don't know how many years ago that was, but I thought, just going to be the best recruiter. Just going to be the only one who can find the people. Oh, you want whoever wrote Metasploit? Boom, I'm going to become best friends with them. Whatever I got to do. I will infiltrate the things. I will do the things. And long story short, some years ago, one of my boss at the time, I walked into his office and I'm paraphrasing, but truncated, I said, the thing that no one could do, I did the thing ultimately. And then he goes, that's not your job. And I'm like, I'm sorry, you're welcome. Like, what? I did the thing. And he goes, that's not your job. You have a team. And if you can do anything they can't do, if you can do anything they cannot do, your only job is to teach them to do the thing.
Yeah.
And it was like my life changed that day. I got over myself. And I was like, that's it. Anything, if you want to get into a leadership position, and the only way to grow is to enable others. Find a way. All of them have a strength. Not everybody's a great sourcer. Not everybody's a great networker. Not everybody can get on a stage. I have people that I'd be like, that's the closer. Man, that part, she can't source for shit. But I'll tell you what, you could take her and you could be like, you could say, sell this ice cube to an Eskimo and they will thank you. Like she was, everyone has a skill. Yeah. Find their skills. And then help and encourage them to teach each other as well. Take your leadership to the next level by teaching others that you are leading to also build up others. That's it. That's how to progress in your career. And it just happens. And then you're like, boom, I don't know how I became the lead. I don't know how I became the manager and then the director and then the VP. But it was just like that enabling.
Yeah,
still sweep floors, right? You still do what you got to do, for sure. Everybody has to put on different hats and do the work. Yeah. And let your people see you doing the work too. Don't just talk about it. Let them see you willing to roll up your sleeves. I might say, okay, everybody, we're doing this project and we're going to split it up. And you get 10 and you get 10 and you get 10 and I'll take 5 to show, put in the work too. That's important.
Yeah, no, that's a really good answer. And yeah, so essentially, I've heard this phrase used, leave your ego at the door. And I think as recruiters, like I've been through a similar thing, as if you're pretty good at recruitment, which I know you are, it's easy to get that ego and go, oh, I'll just do it. It's not the way. But yeah, it's nice to hear that story.
Got you. I'll just do it. I've seen people that struggle. They get stuck right in that spot where they're like, I need this done a certain kind of way. It's going to take me longer. And I get this and I understand this. Believe me, it's going to take me longer. I don't mean me in this scenario, but to stop what I'm doing and show you how to do it, you have to make that investment, right? Doing everything yourself or having everything flow through one single point is failure. It is absolute failure. It doesn't scale. It doesn't grow. Yep.
Yeah. No,
enable
you're right.
Others.
Yeah, no, it's really one of the things about doing the pod. I didn't realize it would help me. It was more to help the community and help the listeners, but it does help me because stuff you're saying now, like we've got a really young team and we're taking on young, inexperienced people, and it's great fun and they're balls of energy. But you have to, like, what you've described then is so like relevant to me because you have to be patient and you have to go, okay. And do you know what? Way more fun than just doing it on your own or doing it yourself anyway. I enjoy it. It's good.
Do you know, this is the Italian in me, the storytelling and swinging the hands around. But if you go back, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, I remember meeting Kathleen Smith probably at a job fair, connecting. And she does this thing where she will connect to you and she'll be like, give this person a chance, this person. And she gives everybody a chance. And then if you grow from that, she'll develop you from that. Mm. And I remember her saying, you're going to sit on a panel and don't worry, it's just going to be just like we're having a conversation. And I'll ask you questions and you'll answer me, but you'll look at the audience. That's how this goes. That's how I first got on a stage. And I remember thinking, remember, this is a less mature version of myself, when I thought I still thought I had to be the best, going, wait a second, you want me to give away my secrets? That's ultimately what you're doing. You're like, how do you find this, do this, connect there? How do you? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell all my competition how to do it. And then again, it's leave your ego at the door. We can learn from each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is how I built our strong network. So I met people like you, right? By giving, what a gift. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking, she wants me to tell them, how did this happen? How did this happen? I'm not telling them my secrets. And then I realized, you know what? I'm not going to do this forever. I love helping people that are just getting started.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And you know what? I think people are having that attitude now of helping. But do you know what? That I think we're so lucky in the security community, because I don't want to talk like bad about, say, finance or anything like that, but I don't think you get the level of sharing in, say, the finance sector like you do the security community. Like, anyone that's into it, it's passion, whose heart's in the right place, who's genuine, mm-hmm. is welcome. And if you're doing the right things and being nice, like, I find that people do want to teach you and help you. And I think the security community is pretty unique there.
I agree with you. I think that specifically when you get into the security community, I call the hacker space, people love for you to generally want help, need help, and be curious. Yeah. I have never met a hacker or security engineer who, if I say, I'm interested in this technology, they won't stop and teach you. This is how villages started, right? Like, yeah. It's like a big science fair. It's just everybody tinkering around and learning and saying, how do you make the world more secure? You take the people capable of doing the harm. And this is how Purple Team happened. Somebody said to themselves, I can defend it if I know how to attack it. I can attack it if I know how to defend it. And this is how this whole thing occurred, where we were like, let's all teach each other. Getting in front of the threats by thinking of it before the bad guy does, before the adversary does. So it's a sharing community for sure. I, like you, I can't say, I don't know. Is healthcare like that? Is telecom like that? I was in those industries for a second. Maybe I just wasn't there long enough. I don't think so.
Yeah.
They don't have any DEF CONs and SHMOO CONs that I know of.
No, I don't think it's the same. I think we're lucky to be in this space. Just back to your point as well on leadership about, like, still getting stuck in. I think the phrase you use was still sweep the floors. I think that's for people listening that are trying to refine leadership, because I think that's massive. I'll tell you a short story as well, because when I was much younger, I used to work in, I did a ski season in mainland Europe, and I worked in a bar, and the owner, once a week, one of us had to clean all the toilets, and it was my turn on the rotor. And the owner of the bar walked past as I was doing it, and he went, Tommy, goes, I'll do it with you this week, mate. And just after that day, I worked so much harder for him, because I was like, he owns the whole bar and he's down there with me getting stuck in it. It makes a difference.
It really does. Yeah. That's a good story. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
I know, it really does. For people on the market right now, Kirsten, it's been, I'm not quite sure kind of still how on the tools you are, or if your team's more doing the actual recruitment now, but is there any kind of tips or hints for people you've got out there that are struggling? I know you've got your finger on the pulse with the market, so I'm sure you could give us some good insights.
You can't just apply. You cannot just apply. First of all, I don't know if this is a provocative thing to say or not, but everywhere you look, you hear these numbers about all of these openings. You hear about the talent gap, and you hear about the space in between the openings and the people capable of fulfilling the openings. Okay. I believe that is an inflated number. I believe that people that are willing are capable, right? So that's another story for another day. But beyond that, I do believe, especially on the gov side, on the GovSec side, for every one position you posted, or for every 10 posted, it's really one. It's multiple people all trying to fill the same job. And that's why they all opened today. It's not 100 positions or 20 or 10. It's one. When you're frustrated, when you're applying and not hearing back, please know that is an inflated number. That imposter syndrome can climb up on you really fast when you're applying and not hearing a word. Just applying isn't enough. Applying is just a mechanism that is part of a process that has to occur from a compliance perspective, but you have to reach out. You have to send a message. You have to find other people. Don't just direct message recruiters. Take a moment to look at if the company is XYZ. Take a look at XYZ. I don't get paid by LinkedIn to say this, but when you Google XYZ, there's tabs, and the tabs are for people and for company. There's more than one search result you can get that you can refine. Look for the people. Notice the people. Notice who they're connected to. Notice how many degrees you are away from that connection. Don't forget about things like Twitter. Yes, I still call it Twitter. There's other avenues that you can use to communicate with people by figuring out where they are connected as well. Do a quick X-ray search, do a Google search, and communicate with people that are talking in the space where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And that it comes down to, no matter how good AI gets, no matter how good technology gets, humans are necessary. Those building those relationships, going to the happy hours, not just because I want you to show up to my happy hours, but making the connections with the humans is how to really get in front of.
Yeah, definitely. I love all that. And you're sparking off so many conversation starters and questions in my mind, Kirsten. And you say about the value of a recruiter attending events. I think the value of what we're doing is going up. But the amount of clients I'm speaking to, I spoke to someone yesterday who's talking about engaging us. He says because of AI, every resume that comes from a job advert is perfect now. They all look great. So he did 30 interviews on the trot. No one was a fit. I was like, I'm pulling my hair out. And I'm sat there thinking, the value of what we do is going up and up and up and up.
Because, I agree with you.
Yeah, because it's job adverts. People are getting hundreds and hundreds of applicants. They're just swamped. So I think it really is increasing. And then to your point, that yeah, utilizing traditional channels at the minute, not very effective. I know some.
Isn't that ironic what you just said? Yeah. Think about how ironic that is.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I know some internal teams that have stopped using, they've had to revert to a pure outbound, almost like a headhunting methodology, because their adverts are just getting just swamped. They can't handle it.
And it's so competitive, right? So the individuals who are getting the calls back are just going to start lining up their offers. Highest bidder. I have Jerry Maguire in my head right now because of a post that Claire Jobs did today, but I always say, show me the money, right? Who's walking you to the finish line? Because people need to remember also, here's a side tidbit to your previous question. It's not just money. Take a minute to be your own best advocate. At the end of the day, hopefully you find a recruiter who will partner with you also. But ask all the questions. Ask about PTO. Ask about work flex. Ask about 401k matching. Ask how much the company is going to contribute to things like deductibles. Like, you aren't thinking about it at the moment, but in the course of, don't go in there without a spreadsheet. Be thinking about all the things that add up. I have personally taken a large pay cut at a point in my career and ended up calling it even because of things like parking and tolls and insurance premiums, and all that stuff adds up. Don't just be enticed by things like salary, and don't be afraid to ask for a sign-on. Especially at companies that are offering referral bonuses and things like that, then they can spend that cash on you.
Yeah, cool. By the way, so just on the money thing, you're so right. There's always a story behind every salary. Hedge funds pay security engineers a lot of money, but don't make no mistake about it. You'll be getting calls at all sorts of times. You might have the CISO on the phone to you really late at night. They want their pound of flesh. Whereas if you work for a smaller consultancy, your base might be significantly lower, but you'll get more balance. You'll probably stay there longer. You'll potentially be happier. So you're right. There's always a story behind that headline figure.
There's a lot of, when you get to that point in the negotiation also, there's so many things that are popping up in my head. Our company, for example, just side shout out, at the end of every calendar year, you can buy back on PTO, where typically you leave the company and that's the only time you can get back your unused PTO. So it's almost like a Christmas bonus every year. You're like, oh man, I didn't get a chance to take my PTO. You can get like up to 40 hours. Things like that are cool. So don't forget to think of all the things besides just the salary. Salaries are cool, but think about all the other things too. Insurance premiums are huge.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Yeah, it's the whole package. Just interesting what you're saying before. You're talking about different ways to approach firms and stuff like that. I don't know how applicable this will be for everyone listening because they won't all have recruiter licenses. But for us recruiters, Kirsty, one thing we've been doing is there's a setting now in Recruiter where you can actually see when people have just moved or just started. So you can actually see behind the job adverts and see who's actually hiring. Said that's true. Quite a good one. Might be useful for some stuff you're doing.
So for the candidates, that's a good point. That leads to look at the movement that's happening there, right? Mm. Look at a couple people that are in the place where you're interested in going and see if they have had the opportunity to grow there. Mm. So that's interesting. Mm. How many positions did they hold in that spot? And then you might ask them, in fact, you should, when you get to the interview stage, where are the growth opportunities? What have you learned? Because you don't want to end up in a spot where you're stuck, mm-hmm. where you'll be just stuck in a box.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Say if I'm listening to this now and I want to come and work with you guys and girls, and I'm thinking I really need to step outside traditional channels, step outside the adverts that Kirsten and her team have got live. How do I approach it? What's the best way for me to approach you or one of your team? What goes down best?
To reach my team or frankly, any recruiting team, I would send messages. Like I said, don't just apply. Look at what their events page is saying that they're doing so you can go meet them in person. Right? Is that company going to conferences? Are they setting up events after hours? Are there opportunities for you to meet them face-to-face? Because you know what a lot of them will do? A lot of companies will do. We did this last night. It's not, if I book a room for 100 people and I think 20 guests are going to show up, I'm also going to bring my employees, right? So that it's going to be an opportunity for colleagues to hang out and for you to really see us in action and get to meet. We have had C-level people there. We had a bunch of back office people. So those are really good opportunities to watch people walk the walk, right? See what kind of people are here. Can I envision myself hanging out with these people? Are they cool? So notice what they're doing in the events. Ask, say, do you have any events coming up? Are you guys going to do it? Are you volunteering anywhere? There's a lot of things that unofficially, like I think I direct the hiring village for Besides Charm and Besides Las Vegas. So my folks will be volunteering their time there. Great opportunity. And I'll be bringing other recruiters from other companies too, and engineers and hiring managers. I highly recommend to everyone, regardless of your career level, this is going to help you grow. This is going to help you as an entry point. Volunteer your time.
Yeah.
Find a place to volunteer. Besides is a great place to start because there are so many of them. Because there's one in just about every town at this point, which is crazy if you think about 15 years ago. But anything from working at the front desk to being a supply runner, no matter what, you're being a t-shirt folder, you're going to build relationships in the community. You're going to be surprised who you meet. I have met CEOs of people that were going to hire me that I didn't even know doing that type of stuff.
Yeah, cool. And it's relevant. I think employers are looking at it more and more. We've just finished up on a principal pen testing search. And one of the criteria was, please make sure they've been speaking events and doing stuff for the community. And basically, make sure they're giving back to the community was literally in the job spec. And it's like, that never used to happen, and it's happening now. So it makes
excellent. There was a job back, I think it was back when I was at Parsons, where part of the criteria, maybe we didn't put this in the job description, but the hiring managers were thinking, have they ever done a CTF? They don't just have to be the winners. I really need to know whatever their problem case was. I need to know how they would do in that environment, because that's a pretty intense environment if you think about it, right? So they were wondering, have they ever done a capture the flag? Have they ever done anything in that type of intense environment? So don't be afraid to put stuff like that, the volunteer work that you do, contests, whether you won or not. And it could be, and be looking also, especially with things like Shmoo coming up, the last ever Shmoo, think of noticing who's putting out things like that. It could be an online challenge. Not only is it fun, not only do you get the bragging rights if you win, sometimes there's cool prizes, but it's a great learning experience and it's something you can put on your resume.
Yeah, definitely. No, thanks. Yeah, all this stuff is fun. All this stuff makes a difference. I like to use the phrase like making your resume 3D. If you're doing stuff on LinkedIn and posting, going to conferences, volunteering, yeah, it just really gives you your resume some real strength and depth. On the conferences side of things, I got guilty of it. Like after COVID, I was like really got behind the screen, still speaking to lots of people, obviously, as a recruiter, but like really just haven't been doing enough of the face-to-face stuff. And one of my clients from Miami, they all went over to Spain in Europe, and I was in the UK, and they were like, Tom, we've flown over from Miami. Like, we're only in Spain. Like, you're getting on the plane. I was like, okay. So I went down. And do you know what? That face-to-face, it's huge. Like, I've known this company for a long time. We've done business together, but we'd never actually met. And actually just going out for dinner and drinks and meeting, it just takes the relationship to a different level. It's nice.
You're right. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, no, it really lifts it up. I think as well, for people listening that are interested in career growth, which I know people are, that listen, in terms of breaking in, getting a chance, like conferences are just major at that stage of your career, aren't they?
They really are. They are. Mm. You're going to learn things standing in line. You're going to spend a lot of time standing in line, whether it's for swag or a talk or what, or your badge. You're going to meet people you never had the opportunity otherwise to meet, because people at every career level, every different discipline, disciplines that you want to break into, you didn't even know. I want to get into industrial control security. I want to get into car hacking. I want to get into RF, whatever the case may be. You are going to meet people in every specialty area at conferences, big and small.
Yeah, you're right. You said learning in the line, but yeah, that learning through osmosis, like you just, it's so hard when you're behind a screen and you just learn so much more when you're together. I'm making a big effort with our team at the minute. I'm trying to do a one-to-one with just as many people as I can every day. Because even if you're just like on a call and you're just chatting, like something just crops up and you just learn from each other. And that's what you get when you're in the office or when you're at an event or at a conference. But it's hard to get it in a remote environment.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. You know what? That's one of my biggest weaknesses. I don't carve out as much time as I can with my people. So don't do that. So learn from my mistakes. You need to, people deserve one-on-one time.
Yeah.
They really do. They deserve it. Even if it's you just carve out 15 minutes a week per human and give them the time that they need, even if there's nothing to talk about. So that was a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one of the guys on the team said it to me the other day. He said, Tom, can we just get on a Zoom and just eat pizza one day? And I was like, what? I was like, and he was like, we're not allowed to talk about work. We're just going to eat pizza and talk about films. And I was like, okay, cool. Like sometimes I'm just like so in the zone and you forget, but it does make a difference. It's good.
Tip to recruiters or to hiring managers for that matter, a big value in when you talk about people trying to break in, we're always telling candidates what to do. You're going to meet candidates. You're going to meet people capable of doing the work that don't have resumes or whose resumes suck, who need help at conferences that you otherwise never would have met. A lot of the passive pool is there. People who don't even realize that they're a fit for you or that you have opportunities that they didn't, you never would have otherwise met them, right? So it's necessary to post your job. It's necessary to apply to your job. But there's such a huge space in between that where like you said, it comes back to the value of real human connection, right? It does.
Yeah, no, I agree. When people talk about AI and all that and recruit, I'm just not, first of all, it was the job boards were going to take our jobs. Then it was LinkedIn was going to take our jobs. Now it's AI is going to take our jobs. But I actually think the technology is making people crave that human connection more. Like even sending like video messages on LinkedIn or voice notes and people are like, oh, you're actually a real person behind that profile, because people are so used to like automation and AI just everywhere.
Yeah. And people, you want to feel, by the way, I'm not busting down AI because it's a big part of what we do. We do workflow automation and generative AI, and it's important and I get it. I do. So I'm not shitting on AI, but in this case, because people are the product, what is a person is a human. The human element is necessary. So that value is important. I tried to steal from something Bryson Bort wrote about the human element being just will always be a necessary ingredient in Gen AI. I might not have said it right. He said it smarter than that. But that's the point is think about something that you might have done. I don't know if you use ChatGPT. I have used it. I've been impressed by it. I'm like, it's like we're building a relationship. It knows my personality. It knows the joke that I would say. It's getting to know what I like and don't like because I give it the thumbs up and thumbs down when it does. If you don't read it, man, you could get in trouble. Don't let it do your thing. Because it could make a really logical mistake, but you have to put it in context and you have to read through it and make sure that it's, is this my voice and is this what I was trying to say? But it is fun to watch it get to know you. Probably not secure, but.
It is. I used it to get it to write some stuff for me. And I said, and one of the team had helped me out with it. And I said, have you actually wrote, it was used, like, I'd put like whoop and let's go on some like posts or some comments, and it had managed to like scrape that information and realize that I thought that one of the team had actually just gone in and manually done it, and she was like, no, Tom, that's the AI learning. And I was like, whoa, this is getting scary.
Yeah, I'm like, it looks like something I would really say. Good job, buddy.
It's good. So, yeah, on your point, yeah, I'm the same. Like, it's, I think we'd all be crazy to just use AI and not check it, but we'd also be crazy to ignore it. Let's say you're implementing it, we're implementing it into different things we do. Hands up, we've gone overboard with it sometimes. Like, we've done too much automation and probably annoyed the odd person and then regretted it and gone, we pushed it too hard then. But it's just finding the balance and a nice blended approach, because it can help everyone if it's used properly, but you just don't want to go too far either way, do you?
Yeah, that's true. It's a good, you know what it is? It helps you with the foundation. I'm going to open it up and the prompt is going to be something along the lines of, please take a look at what I have written and make sure that it sounds intelligent, but it's also a little bit funny, but that it also, and you hit every element that you hope you're going to achieve. You think about your audience, you think about what the target is and what you want to accomplish. And if I say all those things in the prompt, I'm like, damn, good job. You have to change some stuff around, but yeah, but it's still, or you could say, here's what I previously wrote. Here was the impact that it made. Here's what I had hoped it would have accomplished. Can you make me get there? Mm. So that's taking your own stuff and just beefing it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But oh, you're my God, proofread.
Yeah, no, you definitely, I was just about to mention that again, and you did, and I was so glad you did, but it's, you've got to check it. I think it's the same if you're using it to triage events as a SOC analyst or something like that. You've actually got to know what you're doing in the first place, because if you don't, it's frightening. I was listening to something on a recruitment podcast. They were using it to work out contractor margins on a contractor. And long story short, if you'd have listened to what ChatGPT said, you'd have lost money by actually doing the deal. You just completely got it wrong. So you still need to know what you're doing, because sometimes it's great, but sometimes it's just not.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And people want, I think, I can tell you what I want. I get a lot of messages that I'm not interested in. And sometimes I think I'm put off right off the bat. I'm put off if you call me Kristen. And then I'm also put, I'm probably not going to read the message. Sorry. And then I'm put off if you didn't take a minute, because my description is very small. And it says something like, sorry, if you're sales or recruiting, no offense, but I'm probably not going to talk to you. It's just, it's highly unlikely. So if you're not going to entice me, if all you're going to say is, I'd like to set up some time. Now I'm actually a little bit offended. You know what I mean? Yeah. Set up time for what? Just tell me why. I am here. It's just like a resume. Here's the best thing you could do with your resume. Here's the most important thing. I heard the other day that you've got 15 to 30 seconds. I disagree. You've got 3 to 5. Mm. 3 to 5 seconds. Mm. So you're I'm a this and I want to be a that. You got to say it, right? So that's how your reach out should be. And that's how your resume should be. Get to the point, like bottom line up front, bluff right off the bat. Don't say, I don't have to tell you what I am and what I've done and what I want to be. If you read the resume, you have to compel me to read it because there's so many of you. Mm. It's not unreasonable for you to think, had you read my resume, you'd figure out what I am. By the way, what you are might not have anything to do with what you'd like to be. So it's go back to being your own best advocate. Is the best thing you can do is say, I am a systems engineer looking to become a solutions architect by utilizing my expertise in blah, blah, blah. Mm. Now I know. Now I shall continue to read, or I will forward it to someone else that is looking for one of those. So it works the same way with messaging too.
Yeah, it's just so interesting to hear you say that, because I know that so many people will just not be doing that. They'll not be tailoring stuff. They'll not be using any personalization. And it's really easy to go and apply for 500 jobs or 100 jobs in a cookie cutter style copy and paste, and then start complaining about on LinkedIn the fact that no one's getting back to you. But it's like you said, like your reaction there, if you can tell no one's made any effort, you're actually, never mind not replying, you're pissed, you're offended. Say, you're not going to come back. Everyone's the same.
So how about you go to my profile and you'd be like, man, I'm a recruiter or I'm a salesperson, but I want to talk to her, but she says don't do that. Maybe that's how you start it off. Yeah. Although you're not interested in speaking to recruiters, this is the reason I think we should talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Now you have, literally you have people, don't do that to me. But I'm just saying, as an example, I will let you know how many people do that to me today. But anyway.
Yeah. I've seen LinkedIn profiles. I've been reading like a hacker's profile or whatever. And it literally says, if you've got this far, just put these letters in the message and I'll reply. And I'm like, oh, wicked. Are you glad I reviewed this one?
That's awesome. I want to hire that person just for doing that, because it's so clever. That's awesome.
That was all. But yeah, the thing about getting to the point as well, I have it on LinkedIn where people, they reach out and they go, hi, Tom, how are you? You've never spoken before. And it's like, come on. Like, it's just not going to work.
What do you care?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean? You don't even know me.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
I hope this finds you well. Do you?
Yeah. Cool. It just comes across too disingenuous. Yeah, get to the point, tailor it, be personalized. Don't apply for 500 jobs. Just apply for 5 or 10 that actually do it properly.
That you said about being genuine. That is also super key. I heard two individuals, two colleagues of mine that were meeting for the first time last night, and one of them is C-level and one of them is a senior level recruiter sales guy, and was saying a person. And was saying, how do I break into this specific area? And the advice back was so good. It was, there isn't something for you to study. There isn't something for you to obtain, like a Security Plus. What you just did, walking up to me, being your genuine self, having curiosity, asking the question. So it comes down to being your genuine self. It really does.
Yeah, I think it's such a valuable skill set. And I think it's almost like a dying breed of that skill set now. I think we need to like talk about it more and do it more and emphasize it more, because it's, I don't say those days are completely gone. Obviously, it's still there. But it's obviously in this virtual world we live in, those skills need like refining more, and that muscle needs exercising, because, it's important. It is.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. So what kind of book or podcasts or content have you consumed? Could be like recently, could be recruiting related, could be like security related, just, or could be anything that's like self-development related. What content have you consumed that's really helped you, that could help the listeners?
Oh man. See, now if we did this, if we were doing this in my home office, there'd be a million books behind me, and then I wouldn't be able to hide the fact that they're all like trashy murder books. Literally, I read a lot of Sanford and John Sanford and Connolly and McFadden, just a lot of crime and murder stuff. That's what I've been consuming, honestly. It's to the point of, it's almost embarrassing. Like, I'm reading 2 or 3 books a week. I'm like, is this healthy? Lack of sleep. But for me, it is, I love your podcast, love what Clear Jobs is putting out, because they take a moment to Kathleen and Rachel to speak to a wide variety of people at all different experience levels in all different industries, so that they can tell you different perspectives to help the community. It's really all about helping the community as well. So I absolutely love when I'm blessed that I get to either come here or work from home most of the time, but once a week I'll go to the Maryland office. So that's a lot of driving. That's about 140 miles in one day. And that's when I'll listen to what my peers are putting out from a content perspective. And I do love listening to those podcasts as well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I didn't even know Clear Jobs is a really good one for people.
Really good.
Yeah, to tap into. But there is just, I think these days there's that much good stuff about it. It's almost a bit, it's like, where do you start? There's that much stuff. It's almost a bit overwhelming. We almost take it for granted because there is just, I talked about this before on the pod, but like years ago, education was like preserved for the privileged and the super wealthy and all that. Yeah. Now everyone can get it. So we all just have access to it, but there's so much of it. So it's nice to be pointed in the right direction because you can just get lost.
I think, and I'm just going to keep cycling back to going to hear talks and panels at conferences, big and small. I especially like the variety you'll get when there's a panel and they give you really diverse perspectives. I think it's incredibly important. I also think that if you're going to be in this space, no matter what if you're not the hands-on keyboard person, you need to go listen to, even if it's a little out of your wheelhouse or a little above your knowledge base technically, you need to go listen to the tech talks. You really do. You're going to get to know and meet individuals that are interested in what you're, I'm trying to fill a machine learning position, or I'm trying to, like right now, AWS reInvent, I think is happening. If those are the types of positions that you're trying to fill, you need to be in the space with the people doing the work and hear what they're saying. That's how you're going to learn what's coming up and what technologies they're focusing on. So get knowledgeable about, it doesn't mean that I can write all the code, but I understand the logic behind it, right? Like I understand what they're doing because I listen to the content. So take time to listen to and learn as much as you can, at least from a basic perspective, what the technologies are, where you're either recruiting or selling.
Yeah, thanks. I know from some of the conversations I have with candidates that are looking to move, it's because their leaders haven't taken the time to do that. So I know that to be true. I think if you can show a vested interest, it just makes you, I'll say, really interesting, and it makes you a much better leader. And there's just no excuse today. We're living in the age of the internet.
It's another thing to do research, like reverse engineer your search on either side. So that means how do you want it to, what's the finish line look like? And then pull it back from there. So if you're looking at, okay, I'm trying to choose an employer. Do they do tech talks? Do they do lunch and learns? Do you see their employees together at conferences doing volunteer work? This is going to paint the truest picture for you. No matter what their marketing page says, no matter what their hashtag says, no matter what is, are they walking the walk, right? Yeah. Get into a research project.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's good, Kirsten. I've really enjoyed this. You're easy to talk to, by the way. I can tell you've come from a recruiting background. It just felt like normally I'm like looking down at like my questions every 5 minutes or whatever. I'm just like with you, just in the pub having a chat. It's nice.
Sure. Yeah. But you know what? But I'm an incessant interrupter and I try to catch myself. I'm like, God, like I can't. I have something to say. I'm so sorry that I do that. But it is, yeah, it does. It comes, you're an easy person to talk to as well. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's been good. How long have you got till the event? Have you got a bit of respite before the event tonight? Or?
So it's been happening all day. It's happening as we speak. Oh, I have a little sign on my door that says, do not disturb. Yeah, it was 7:30 in my time that people were out in the parking lot waiting for me to open the door for them and set up and everything like that. So they're doing workshops all day. This is a transitioning operators workshop and they're doing their, we're going to, I don't speak until 1:45. So I have a little bit of time. But.
Okay, cool. You've got enough time for a coffee and to prepare your notes and go and smash it.
Yeah, all set.
Yeah, really nice to see you. Do you think we've done okay? Have we covered most of what we wanted? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. No, I hope so. I think so. People can reach out to either of us if they have a question or if they're like, you touched on something. I wish you would have expanded on it more. We can do a part two. And what we really need to do is end up in the same place at the same time and figure out how to do something live that way.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that. And we'll put mine and your LinkedIn profiles in the show notes because I'm presuming that's the best way to get hold of you as well. LinkedIn.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Thank you. And nice to see you.